We're in 1 Corinthians this morning, chapter 9, and this is our last lesson in this series, Identity, My Life in Christ. We've been talking about what God says about who we are and what we can be in Christ, and we've talked about how our relationship with Christ ought to impact every area of our life. Who Jesus is forms the foundation for who we are, and then our relationship with Him ought to affect our life in the church. It ought to affect our life at home. It ought to affect our life at work. It ought to affect our life in the community. We talked about that last week. And then this week, the title of the lesson is Life on Mission. And the point of the lesson, we can better share the gospel when we step into the shoes of others. Paul's going to talk about in this passage of Scripture how he becomes all thing to all men so that he can, by all means, win some. And if you've ever gone to any classes or heard anybody talk about winning people to Christ, one of the principles that they tell you is that you'll be more effective if you can somehow identify with that person, if you can somehow make a connection with that person, if you can somehow find something in common with that person. You'll have a better chance of telling them about Christ and getting them to listen to you. And as I mentioned a few moments ago, it's easy to share Jesus and with people that are like us. You know, people that are the same race, people that have the same kind of background, same economic standing, same educational background. And people like us need Christ, but people not like us also need Him as well. And rather than get them to come to where we are, like Paul did, like Jesus did, we need to go to where they are. We need, again, to try to understand where they are. And if we can understand where they are, how they think, their culture, so to speak, we can find a way to reach them. We can find a way to identify with them and tell them about Christ. And again, it might take stepping outside of our comfort zone. Take us to think in a different way than we normally think. But again, we're talking about we're talking about eternity. We're talking about where those people are going to spend forever. We're talking about heaven and hell. And so doing that is well worth it. One of the paradoxes in the Christian life is that we've been set free in Christ so that we can enslave ourselves to Him. That's what Paul's going to talk about in our lesson this morning. He was free from sin. He talked about it whenever he shared his testimony. Hey, I was a sinner. I was a slave of sin. But in Jesus Christ, I've been free. I've been set free from sin. I've been set free from the law. He was a Jew. He grew up, used to think that keeping the law was the right way to get right with God. But when he met Christ, he was set free from the law. Again, not free from keeping the law from a moral standpoint, but free from being dependent on keeping the law in order to be right with God. He was free from the pressure of pleasing others. Okay, he was free from a ministry standpoint because of his the ability that God gave him in his occupation, being a tent maker. He didn't really have to depend on others to support his ministry. And so all of those are things that would have held him back from being what God wanted him to be. And he said, I'm free from all those things. And yet I've chosen to make myself a slave, a bondservant to Christ. We usually think about freedom to do whatever we want. And Paul would agree with that. What he would say is, what I want most of all is to serve God. What I want most of all is to be a servant of His. What I want most of all is to be His slave. And so Paul says, God's the master, I'm the slave. There's nothing higher than that. And as he wrote to the church at Corinth, he was trying to get them to adopt that same mindset. He wrote this letter on his third missionary journey. Most Bible scholars think it was about 56 A.D. In chapter 9, where we are this morning, he was encouraging Christians to lay aside their personal rights to reach people with the gospel. personal rights mean little if people aren't getting saved. Personal rights mean little if those personal rights keep us from witnessing to other people. And so in this passage of Scripture, Paul is saying, hey, you find common ground with those that need Christ, and then you introduce them to Jesus. Two parts of the lesson. We need to step into the shoes of others to reach them for Christ, and then sharing Christ takes discipline and self-denial. So let's start 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. Here's what the Bible says. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So Paul says, though I be free from all men. Now, we know that Paul was a Roman citizen. We know that as a Roman citizen, he enjoyed freedom. He was a free man. But Paul had more in mind when he says, though I be free from all men. And I mentioned it earlier. He was free from sin. He was free from the law. He was free from living his life to try to please others. But he says, I'm free from all men, yet I have made myself a servant unto all. He said, I'm free from everybody, but I have chosen. It's a conscious decision on my part to make myself a servant. Now, again, that word servant means bondservant. It means slave. It doesn't mean somebody that has gone to work for somebody else and is getting paid for it. It means somebody that has sold himself into slavery to pay a debt, or it means somebody that has been captured by somebody else and sold into slavery. Paul says, I'm free, and yet, conscious decision on my part, I have made myself a slave or a bondservant to all men. He gave himself to the service of others deliberately so that he could win them to Christ. And he did that. He tells us the reason why, that I might gain the more. That I might gain the more. Of course, that word gain means to acquire, to pile up, so to speak, more. Not personal rewards, but more souls for Christ. He says, I've done all that so that I can win more. I've made myself a servant to all so that so that when I preach the gospel, when I share the gospel, either in large groups or in one-on-one situations, and Paul did both. He was effective in one-on-one. He was effective in large groups. He was effective in small groups. He says, I've made myself a servant, even though I'm free. I made myself a servant to all men for one reason, so that I can win more to Christ. After Paul came to Christ himself, after he was saved, and again, we know his testimony. On the Damascus Road, he saw that and was blinded by that bright light. He heard that voice from heaven that said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul answered, said, Who art thou, Lord? And that voice from heaven says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And Paul said, What do you want me to do? what do you want me to do? He was saved. He was called to be a preacher, to be a missionary, to share the gospel of Christ. But his passion after he was saved was telling other people about Jesus. Didn't matter who it was, didn't matter what situation he was in. I mean, he stood before rulers, he stood before paupers, he stood free, he stood under arrest. It didn't matter. He used every opportunity to preach Christ. So he says in there in verse 20, unto the Jews I became as a Jew.
Now,
we know that Paul was a Jew. In fact, in Philippians chapter 3, he asserted his Judaism. He talked about how he was born of Jew. And so when he was around Jews, when he was witnessing to Jews, he knew how to identify with them because he was one of them. That's the background he came out of. He knew how they thought. He knew they depended on keeping the law to make them right with God. He knew how they would struggle with the idea that it was not keeping the law, but it was believing in Jesus Christ. He knew how they would struggle with the gospel because he struggled with it. I think Paul's the Holy Spirit started working on Paul when he stood and Stephen was stoned. When he held the coats of those that were stoning Stephen, and he heard what Stephen said as the stones came flying at him. And I think the Lord and the Holy Spirit was working on him, and when it came to his conversion on the road to Damascus, I mean, the Holy Spirit had him right where he wanted him. And so Paul knew what it was to be a Jew. And when he witnessed to Jews, he knew their mindset. He knew how they thought. He knew that they depended on the law. And so he made himself a Jew to gain the Jews. Then he says in that same verse, to them that are under the law as under the law. He said, I'm free from all men. I'm free from the law. I no longer have to depend on the law to make me right with God. But when I run into people that are under the law, I make myself as under the law. Now again, some people think that Paul was saying the same thing as he did in the first part of the verse. Jews were people under the law. They depended on the law to make them right with God. And so Paul was saying a second way, well, when I'm around Jews, I become a Jew. When I'm around Jews that are under the law, I make myself under the law. But others seem to think that when Paul said those that are under the law, he was talking about those that kept the law in a special way, in a way that made them stand out from others, like the Pharisees, who kept the law to the nth degree, who didn't waver in their keeping of the law. Paul was a Pharisee. In fact, he called himself a Pharisee of the Pharisee. And so he knew what it was to keep the law in a special way. He knew what it was to live by the letter of the law. Now, again, when Paul preached Christ, he didn't tell people to forsake the law. What he told them was, quit trusting the law to make you right with God. It's not keeping the law that makes you right with God. It's believing in Jesus Christ. Paul said the law still provides a guideline for how we should live morally, but keeping the law doesn't make you right with God. In Acts chapter 16, we get an example of what Paul was talking about to them that are under the law as under the law. In Acts chapter 16, Paul met a young man named Timothy. He invited Timothy to join him on his missionary journey. The Bible tells us there that Timothy's dad was a Greek, but his mother was a Jew. When Paul invited Timothy to go along with him on the missionary journey, the Bible says that Paul encouraged and had Timothy circumcised. Now, again, Paul did that not because circumcision meant anything to Timothy as a Christian, but Timothy was a Jew. And so he was identifying the fact that he was a Jew, and Paul was taking away a potential conflict that Timothy might run into later in dealing with the Jews. I mean, if Paul hadn't had him circumcised, the Jews could say, when Timothy went to preach in the synagogues to the Jews could say, well, you're a Jew, why aren't you circumcised? And that would be a point of contention between Paul and the Jews. And so Paul says, again, I'm not bowing to the pressure of the Jews. I'm not compromising the gospel in any way. I'm just helping Timothy as he establishes his ministry to not have that to become under the law as those that are under the law so that he can gain those that are under the law. Again, just an example of what Paul was talking about. Then he says in verse 21, to them that are without law as one without law. Now again, Paul's, God called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. A Gentile was anybody other than a Jew. A Gentile was those that were without the law. They did not depend on the law as the Jews did to make them right with God. And so Paul says, when I dealt with the Gentiles, I became a Gentile. I thought like a Gentile. I walked in the shoes of a Gentile. I found something common with the Gentiles, and I used that commonality to witness to them. Again, let me give you an example. When he went to Athens, and he was around the Greek philosophers and the Greek scholars, the Bible says he went to Mars Hill. And on Mars Hill, he saw all the altars that the Greeks had built to the various gods. And so when he came and he started talking to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, he said, hey, as I was looking at all your altars, I found one that said, to the altar of the unknown God, the God that created everything, the God that sustains everything. He says, I want to tell you who that God is. And he preached to them Jesus. Again, trying to find a stepping off point, so to speak, to those that were out the law, without the law. Trying to find a place that he can make a connection. And again, the Bible says that some of them didn't listen, but some of them listened and believed on Christ when he witnessed to them about it. But then he says, not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. He said, hey, I don't depend on the law of Moses to make me right with God, but I know I'm responsible to live morally like that law defines. God used that law to help us, to tell us how we ought to live. And Paul says, I'm not free from living in accordance with that law to live a moral life. I'm free that I no longer have to keep the law to be saved, to be right with God. But it doesn't mean I can ignore the law because it still defines how God wants us to live. And that law has been brought to me through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, in Christ, I'm responsible for living that life that God wants me to live. And he defines that life by the law. And so even though I'm free from the law, and I make myself free from the law when I'm dealing with those that are without law. I mean, I try to find that common point. I still live by it. I still pay attention to it because that's how God wants us to live. Then he says in verse 22, to the weak became I as weak. Now again, Paul's talking about spiritually immature Christians, both Jews and Gentiles. And again, earlier in the book of Corinthians, he provides an example of what he means, unto the weak I became as weak. There were some Christians that thought it was a sin to eat meat offered to idols. So in some of the pagan religions, they would offer animals to idols, and somehow that those animals, the meat from those animals that were offered to idols, made their way into the marketplace and became available for people to buy and to eat. Well, there were certain Christians that thought it was a sin to eat meat offered to idols. Paul did not think that. He did not think there was anything wrong with eating meat offered to idols. But he did not let the liberty, the freedom that he had in Christ, become a stumbling block to others. And so even though he did not believe it was a sin to eat that meat offered to idols, he says, I'm not going to eat it because they think it's wrong. I don't think it's wrong, but they think it's wrong. And I don't want to do anything that would cause them to stumble. I don't want them to say, hey, look at Paul. He's eating the meat offered to idols. He's sinning by eating that meat. Paul says, I want to be able to help them. I want to be able to witness to them. I want to be able to help them grow in Christ. I want to be able to encourage them. And so even though I don't think it's wrong, I'm not going to eat it. Because again, I don't want to be a stumbling block so that I might gain the weak. So he says, I am made all things. I became a Jew. I became under the law to those that are under the law. I became without law to those that were without law. I became weak to those that are weak. I made all things to all men that by all means I can save some. Paul says, hey, I'm not going to compromise and step outside of what God wants me to be, but I'm going to do my best to reach people where they are. I'm going to try to find a connection. I'm going to try to find some common ground. I'm going to try to find an open door so that I can make a connection with all sorts of people so that I can bring them to Christ, so that I can introduce them to Christ. Again, it was a deliberate, personal decision. A lot of people look at what Paul just said. Well, there's a wishy-washy guy. He can't make up his mind. Is he a Jew or is he a Gentile? Does he believe in keeping the law or not keeping the law? Paul was not wishy-washy. Paul was positioning himself so that he could have an open communication with everybody. Again, he didn't compromise the gospel. He didn't compromise what he believed about God. But he made himself available. He tried to find that common ground. He tried to find the open door so that he could witness to different people. There are many Christians in their witness that don't have an effective witness because of what I would call spiritual arrogance or a holier-than-thou attitude. Many Christians give off the air, well, you're a sinner, I'm better than you, I'm going to help you. Listen, we're still all sinners. Some of us are saved sinners and some are lost sinners. Saved sinners have put their sin under the blood of Jesus Christ and they're no longer accountable for that sin. But we can never say as a saved person that we're not a sinner. I mean, as we compare ourselves to Christ, as we look into the mirror of God's word, the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin. Paul says, look, I don't want to do anything to keep people away from Christ. I mean, Paul had a tremendous testimony. He could have said, hey, God got me in a way that he didn't get you. I mean, he didn't speak to you on the road to Damascus. He didn't shine that bright light from heaven on you like he did me. I mean, and again, Paul could give a testimony that would far outshine most of ours. But Paul never let that testimony stand in his way to witness to other people. He tried to find common ground. He tried to say, hey, I was just like you. I was a sinner. There was nothing I could do to pay for my sin. Let me tell you about the one who paid for it. Let me tell you about the one who saved me. Our Christian witness is to be given with humility and grace. Paul says that by all means I can save some. Paul knew that he didn't do the saving. He wasn't the Savior. But Paul knew the one who was. He knew the one who saved him. And he said, he looked for every opportunity, and he looked for open doors, and he made those open doors by becoming like the people that he tried to witness to. And he said, let me tell you about the one who saved me. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about Jesus. All right, and then he says in verse 23, this I do for the gospel's sake. Now, that word this refers to becoming all things to all people, okay? A Jew, under the law, without the law, weak, for the gospel's sake. The gospel means good news, good tidings. Paul defined it later on in the book of Corinthians. The death on the cross to pay for our sins. The burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His ascension to heaven to sit on the right hand of God. The hope that we have that he's coming back to set up his kingdom. This I do. I become all things to all people for the gospel's sake, on account of the gospel. That's the reason that I do it. He said that I might be partaker thereof with you. Hey, we're partners. Again, he's writing to the church at Corinth. He's trying to get them to take the same mindset, to say, hey, you become all things to all people that you by all means can win some. We can be partners in this. We can share the gospel, and we'll share the blessings of the gospel. Those that hear it and receive it are blessed because they come to Christ. And those that share it are blessed because God promises rewards to those that are faithful in sharing the gospel. All right, let's look at the next passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. So beginning in verse 24, Paul moves into the second part of the lesson as the author has divided it up. That in order to have an effective witness, believers need to be self-disciplined. They need to give it their best. They need to give it their all. That's how you are effective in sharing Christ. And again, the ministry that we have in sharing the gospel, the opportunity and the commission that we have to share the gospel, we should not take lightly. The message that we convey when we share the gospel has an eternal meaning. I mean, the gospel determines where people spend eternity. Do they go to heaven or do they go to hell? And so we ought to give it our best. Paul says, they which run in a race run all. If you're in a race, you run. Paul says, everybody in a race run. That word race can actually mean two things. It either means a measure of a distance that's in a race or the venue of that race. So Paul said, everybody that's in a race running this distance runs. Or everybody in the stadium, the venue that's in this race, runs. But he says, so everybody in the race runs, but only one receiveth the prize. Only the guy that wins. They didn't give second and third place. They didn't give participation trophies. They only gave one prize to the winner. And so Paul says, so run that ye may obtain. What he's saying is, if you're going to be in a race, run to win. Run to obtain the prize. Don't just run in place. Don't just jog. Don't go through the motions. Run to win. Now, if you know anything about running, especially running to win, you know that runners have to train. You know that runners have to be self-disciplined. If you're going to run a marathon, usually marathon runners take 6 months to prepare. They watch what they eat. They go out and run 5 to 6 days a week, and they run long distances. And again, Paul says, hey, if you're going to, everybody in a race runs. And again, he was going to make the comparison. In your ministry for Christ, in your sharing Jesus with other people, don't just go through the motions. Don't just jog. Don't just run in place. Run to win. Give it your best. Now, let me tell you that the Corinthians were familiar with athletic contests. Every 2 years, they would have games near Corinth where they would have races and boxing matches. They were called the Isthmian game. Isthmian game. They'd have them every 2 years near Corinth. They were actually one of four, or actually five, series of games that happened every 4 years. So the first year, you had the Olympics, which took place at the Greek city Olympia. And then the second year, you had these games that took place near Corinth. And then you had the Nymsa games, which took place near Nemea. So those two games happened every 2 years. The third year, they had the Pythian game near Delphi. And then year four, they had those two again, the one near Corinth and the one near Nemea. And then the cycle started over. And so the Corinthians were familiar with these athletic contests. I mean, they had them every year, the Olympics and all these games. And every other year, they had games that they could go to themselves because it was near their city. So they knew what it was for runners to train. They knew what it was for runners to deny themselves as they prepared to run in these races. Just like, you know, if you pay attention, like when the crim is about to happen in Flint, if you pay attention, you'll probably see people training for the crim. They'll run through the neighborhoods, they'll run the streets, they're getting prepared. Well, same thing probably happened in Corinth. People would run in order to prepare for the game. So when Paul said to the Corinthians, hey, everybody that runs in a race runs. If you're going to run, run to win. Run to win. Strive to win. And when you're witnessing to Christ, for Christ, just don't go through the motions. Do it to win. Do it to win that person to Christ. Do it to make a difference in that person's life. He says in verse 25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, that phrase, striveth for the mastery, comes from the Greek word agonizomaia. Agonizomaia. It means to endeavor with strenuous zeal to obtain something. Okay? The English word agony comes from that Greek word. If you're going to run, if you're going to compete, do it to win. Give it that strenuous zeal to obtain the prize. People that do that are temperate in all things. In other words, they exhibit self-control. They deny themselves distractions. They eat right. They sleep right. They do whatever's necessary to prepare themselves to win. Paul says they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, a crown that perishes, a crown that doesn't last. Back in that day, they didn't give gold medals. They didn't give silver medals. They didn't give bronze medals. They gave crowns, wreaths that were made out of pine or olive or parsley. Parsley. They actually made crowns out of parsley. That's what they would give the winners of these races. Those crowns would not last. Paul says they run in a race. They deny themselves things to prepare for that race. And why do they do it? So they can win a crown that won't last. Now we do it to win an incorruptible crown, a crown that will never perish. A crown that will be given to the faithful servants of Christ. So Paul goes on in verse 26. I therefore so run, okay, not as uncertainly. He says, I run, but I don't run aimlessly. When I run with a sense of purpose. When I run to win. Now, Paul wasn't talking about a race. I guess he was. He was talking about the Christian race, the race that God gives each of us to run. But Paul says, in that race for Christ, in that race to witness for Christ, I am going to be temperate. I'm going to keep things out of my life that are going to be a distraction. I'm going to keep things out of my life that will not help me be ready to run that race for Christ. Now, Then Paul changes the example. So fight I. Again, there were boxing matches in these games. Not as one that beateth the air. He said, Paul said, I'm not going to shadow box. I'm not just going to frail my arms around. Hey, when I fight, I want to hit something. I want to make contact. I don't want to do anything that doesn't have purpose. I don't want to do anything that's not going to accomplish something. I'm not just going to frail my arms. I want to spend my life doing things that count. And telling people about Jesus count. He says in verse 27, I keep under my body and bring into subjection. Now, that phrase, keep under, is a boxing term. Going along with, you know, say, I don't shadow box. That word keep under comes from a Greek word that describes the way that one boxer pummels the body of another. It actually means to hit under the eyes. Okay? So Paul says, I keep under my body. In another place he says, I buffet my body daily. Now, some people read that word buffet as buffet. I buffet my body daily. That's not what Paul was talking about. He says, I beat myself daily. And I don't think he did it physically, but he says, I beat myself daily because I want to bring my body. Again, that word body talks about the physical, but it also talks about the total person. He says, I want to bring my total person, my total being, under subjection to Christ. In other words, and again, that word subjection means to make a slave. So we're right back to where we started. I'm free from all men, yet I've chosen to make myself a servant to all men, a slave to all men. And here Paul says, I beat my body so that I can bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What Paul was saying, hey, my ministry is important to me. What God called me to do is important to me. And again, we know from Paul's writing that he did not believe that his salvation depended on him hanging on. We know from Paul, he says it over and over, that and when he says, I don't want to be a castaway, he wasn't talking about losing his salvation. He knew that salvation was paid for by Christ. It comes through faith, through grace, as people put their faith in Jesus Christ. But Paul says, I don't want to ever become a castaway in the service of God. And so I keep pummeling my body. I buffet it on a daily basis because I want to be a slave of Jesus Christ. I want to live in a way that's pleasing to Him. I don't want to ever get distracted. I don't want to ever. And again, one of the points the author makes is so many Christians, they get so caught up in the ministry that they forget to do the disciplines that keep them close to the Lord. Some Christians get so caught up in serving others that they don't take time to read their Bible. They don't take time to pray. They don't take time to spend time meditating with the Holy Spirit. And they don't discipline themselves. Yeah, what they're doing is good, but if you don't have that self-discipline, if you don't stay close to the Lord yourself, you know what's going to happen? You're going to burn out. You're not going to have that strength, that inner strength that you need to keep on going. And Paul says, "Hey, I keep under my body. I mean, I watch myself. I don't want to ever get to the point where I'm a castaway. I don't want to ever get to a point where I am not living my life in a way pleasing to God, where God can use me to reach other people for Christ." And again, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and as he does, he writes to us, he says, that ought to be your mindset as well. You have been set free in Jesus Christ so that you can become a slave to him and to others so that you can win them to Christ. What's more important? What's more important in life than telling other people about Christ, than telling other people about Jesus? I mean, the time we spend on this earth and time people spend on this earth, I mean, if they live to be 100, if they live to be 120, it's only 120 years compared to all eternity. They're going to spend eternity. Eternity's going to last forever. It's going to last forever. And so we need to be like the Apostle Paul. We need to say, I've become all things to all men so that by all means I can win some and bring them to Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this example that you've given us in the Apostle Paul. Help us to learn from him. Help us to follow his example. Help us to become all things to all men so that by all means we can bring some to Jesus Christ. I pray now you go with us in the service that follows. Help us to uplift that Savior. If there's folks here that have never received him, I pray today would be the day they see their sin and come to the only one that can pay for that sin and make them right with you. So bless the service, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.